when it comes to your career or your business or anything in life, actually follow your passion is the wrong advice. For me, it was. And I think you can become passionate about something if you become good at something. And your work doesn't have to become your everything.
My ways of working were really back in the 80s. I was still Mrs. 5 days a week in office, 8:30 till 5 p.m. That was just the way that I felt that you had to operate in order to be successful. Hiring people just comes with such a huge level of responsibility, and it's really not something that I take lightly at all. And I think one of the key learnings for me has been knowing what the business needs, but also what I have got the capacity to give. It actually plays on my mind every day. Don't let yourself down. Don't disappoint yourself. If you say you're going to do something, do it.
That's been a really big lesson for me when it comes to leadership and it comes to hiring and it comes to building out a team. It's just... Hello and welcome to another episode of the Career Confidence Podcast with myself, Georgie Hubbard. And today joining me is...
Pam Caldwell.
My business partner and best friend. And we have got a really exciting episode for you today. Pam and I are celebrating our 6th year in business together. So Pam, congratulations. I can't believe it's actually been 6 years. How are you feeling?
Well, first, congratulations and well done to you for putting up with me for 6 years. But yeah, it's really exciting. I think it's just such a good time for us to always pause and reflect about the journey that we've been on. But certainly this year, more than any other, I feel as though it's been a few consecutive years of navigating an in and out certain challenges and market conditions. And I do feel as though there's been more key learns over the past 2 years than there was the previous four. And within that, we've definitely made a few mistakes. We've had a few topsy-turvy moments. And I think it will be really of interest to hopefully a lot of our listeners.
100%. And if you're somebody that obviously doesn't own a business, but you're wanting to accelerate your career and your life, there's going to be definitely some lessons in this that will hopefully benefit you and you can take away and learn from. But yeah, look, it's been an amazing 6 years. And when I reflect, I am so proud of how we've navigated a lot of things that have come our way. And look, just to give our listeners a bit of context and backstory, Pam and I have known each other now for 10 years. We worked together at a recruitment company before we started our business. And we worked really well together. We always had a lot of respect for each other. We were both very good recruitment consultants. We worked with very similar levels of integrity. And we were also very passionate about the same things, women in tech being one of them, which is really kind of what I think brought us together. But when I met Pam, and we always tell his story to all of our clients, but I think that we were always destined to come together and work together, because when she joined the recruitment company, the first day you started, we were in the boardroom chatting and I said, oh, so, you know, where are you living? Where have you chosen to live in Melbourne? And Pam was like, oh, Port Melbourne. I was like, oh, me too. And I was like, oh, what's your address? And she was like, oh, Knott Street. And I was like, no way, I'm Knott Street. What apartment block? And she was like, this one. I said, no way, same. So we literally spent from really the minute you touched down in Australia, pretty much every single day together. We commuted together. We hung out on weekends together. And then we went to Bali together on a holiday over Christmas and over a few too many gins, Four Pillars, I think it was, the best. We decided that we were awesome and we should start our own business. And it's been a ride ever since then. So I am super proud of us. And I do say it all the time, but there is no one else that I'd want to be going on this journey with. And you've really helped me through and supported me through a lot. And I'm so grateful for you as a friend. And just final thing on it, I think the reason why we have been successful and we're still in business with each other today is we have always prioritized our friendship above business. Yeah. And that's something that I am very, very proud of.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I completely agree. And I do honestly believe we were destined to be friends. I did for one time in my life, I went to see, is it a psychic or a fortune teller? And that fortune teller, I always remember saying, he was a bit of a strange cat, but he said, move to a country beginning with A. And at the time, I never in a million years thought I would ever travel to Australia. I did not enjoy flying. I actually had anxiety about flying. So I just did not think that you would ever catch me on a plane for a journey for 32 hours. So I actually thought that I was going to go to America. And I genuinely thought that was going to be my journey. But I came to Australia. And again, it was a bit of a coin toss to see which state I would go to, either Sydney or Melbourne. And I landed in Melbourne. And the rest really is history. I do genuinely believe that we were destined to meet. And, you know, working together for all those years, yeah, but when we were in the office, we very much were head down and just operated. I would honestly say it was that commute. It's a half hour commute into work every day and a half hour commute home. And some of the deep conversations that we had on that 109 tram really set us up for a real solid friendship. But I have got wonderful memories of that time. Yeah. But before we get into it, do you know, honestly, what I'm actually thinking, just when you say about the trip that we went on in Bali before we registered CH Solutions, the naivety,
oh god,
and the blind 100%. Faith that we had in 100%. Our abilities and capabilities to run a business. If you would have told me the road that we had ahead, I would point blank never have started a business. We genuinely just thought we had it down. We're like, right, we've got this experience, we've got this. Get a website built, off we go.
100%.
And if I knew what lay ahead, honestly, I do not know if I would have fired the gun on registering the business. So there you go. Point one, have blind faith in your own abilities and be completely naive and just go for it.
Oh my God. But it is so true, actually, when I reflect. And actually, this isn't even on our list of lessons, but it's just such a good point. Because honestly, like you said, the journey that we've been on has been pretty insane, lots of ups and downs. It really has been a roller coaster. But I think because, and we won't go too much into depth of this, but we were kind of pushed into it in the end, really.
Yeah.
Very, very quick backstory. I had left and the old company we worked for discovered that Pam and I had registered the business and quickly fired Pam. And we were left with about $30 in our bank account at the time. I had spent all of my savings starting another business and it was just a bit chaotic. Pam had just had a newborn. So there was lots of things, basically, you know, when people say burn the boats, well, we burnt those boats and they sunk to the bottom of the ocean. So we just had to swim and we just swam. But we were literally in the deep end staring at each other. And we were a bit like deer in headlights to start with. But I'm so grateful looking back on that time because, like you said, naivety, but also the choice was taken from us. Because I think at the time you were going to do it. But like when you reflected, you were about to sort of really sort of take off at that recruitment company, really earn some good commission. And I think had you stayed for maybe a couple more months, which was the plan, which I fully supported because you're like, look, I've got a family to think of. You're about to get a nice commission check. I think had you have got that check, you might have really thought about it and gone, is this the right decision? But that decision was just taken from you. So we had to go. And then I felt so responsible because I thought, God, like she's my best friend. She's got a young daughter. We have to make this work. And by God, did we? You know, I think the first couple of years, even though they were chaotic, I look back so fondly on those first couple of years and our first little office on the corner of Collins Street, which is just what I can only describe as a box. And the walls were so thin and Pam and I are so loud. I think we scared every single person in that office. They didn't even look at us, did they? We were shouting down the phone and getting a bit fired up, but it was so much fun. I mean, I think we lived on caffeine and,
And humour.
Caffeine and humour got us through.
The humour at that point was definitely a lot of laughing about our own misfortune. But to be honest, We knew exactly what we were doing. We knew the formula of the business that we were running. And we did have a lot of faith and belief in our own capabilities to make a success of it. But I used to always think that one of the things that I really valued most was stability. And that was just thrown completely out of the window. And it all happened for a reason that way. And I do agree with you. I think if I would have given it another couple of months, I think I would have been scared stiff to really make the decision to move on. So with hindsight, I am very grateful that it happened the way it happened.
100%. And I think just the final point before we sort of go into the lessons is just you've got to back yourself. And I think that's one thing that you and I have always done is we've always had faith in our ability. And even in the times when our back's been up against the wall, we've always gone, we got ourselves into this situation, we will get ourselves out. And I think that trust in ourselves and trust in each other as well, also really important, is what's enabled us to navigate some pretty tricky situations. So yeah, absolutely. Again, why we call the podcast Career Confidence is that level of confidence and self-belief has definitely been the foundation that everything else is built on in the business. So that's probably a good sort of segue into the other lessons that we've learned. But first lesson that I think we were reflecting on is it's important to have a plan, but be prepared to pivot. And like you were just saying then, Pam, like there's been so many things that had we stopped to think about them, or maybe we thought they were going to come up, we would have probably been frozen with fear. And when we started the business, like we did have some goals. So we knew sort of what we wanted to earn. We knew what we sort of wanted to, how we wanted to grow and what kind of clients we wanted to work with. We had those goals in place, but you never know what's around the corner. And when you are running a service-based business, you've got to be prepared to pivot and change direction, which is why I think that whole adaptability piece is incredibly important in this new world in general now as well. Like you've got to be prepared to look around what's going on, the technology that's coming, the evolution of AI, social media. Like you've got to be constantly thinking what's coming and how can I make sure that I stay ahead. And then the other piece of it, and we can talk about this, is of course the pandemic. Nobody predicted that that was going to happen. And we did have plans that year to really like, right, let's go, let's do it. This is our year. It was our third year, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We'd had a really good couple of years of just building and we were sort of really sort of starting to build that momentum after those 2 years in business. We had a team at the time and we were like, right, this is our plan, let's go. And then I think March hit of, God, was it 2020?
2020? I can't remember now.
And everything went out the window, those plans. Mm. So yeah, what was your sort of thoughts on that period?
I think if I actually really reflect back on that period, one of my ways of working were really back in the 80s. I had very traditional thoughts around how you should show up at work. And even if you think, I actually did have a young family at the time. My daughter was only one when we started the business, so she was three at that point. But I was still Mrs. 5 days a week in office, 8:30 till 5 p.m. And that was just the way that I felt that you had to operate in order to be successful and to grow a successful business. And that was actually at the detriment to my own mental health. There were definitely some burners in my life that I just could not, it wasn't sustainable. And there was always something that dipped. And if I reflect back on that time, you know, there's certain things that I've had to really, really work through. I feel as though I really prioritized career and those ways of working over certain other really important things in my life. So when the pandemic hit, I know obviously it's affected people in many different ways, but it was a real turning point for me in my life to really open up my eyes to see that you do not have to show up in survival every single day in order to be successful in your career. And it really just, it just showed me that people and individuals have got, you know, self-drive, self-determination. If you offer trust, people have got the capabilities and the drive and the self-motivation to really execute on what their roles are. So I think one of the things that I am actually really good at is offering trust to my employees. I feel that people know what their roles are, and as long as, you know, the scope of work is well defined, 9 times out of 10, people do execute on that. And I would always give trust first. If that trust is then broken, then we've got a problem. But what my advice would be is just trust your people, like give them that freedom, give them that autonomy, and see how it works. But just obviously make sure that there's open lines of communication. But for me, navigating through the pandemic, just being able honestly to take my mornings a lot slower, just take time for me, be able to get a little bit of movement in the morning, be able to actually have breakfast. I honestly used to get up, get ready, get my daughter ready, get her fed, drop her at daycare, run to the bus stop, grab a coffee when I got off the bus, get to my desk, and maybe if time, eat something about 11:30 in the day. That is honestly how I navigated my mornings. And then just as the pandemic went, like just honestly having that flexibility to have a morning and be at my desk for 8:30 still, and just get that planning, that 30 minutes planning underway before the clock strikes 9, it has changed my life for the better. So I know that the ways of working you're now sort of starting to navigate a little bit back to maybe 2 to 3 days in office. And look, I think for balance and having that in-person camaraderie, that team camaraderie, and, you know, that social stimulation where, you know, you get the physical in-person energy off of people, is personally, I feel as though that's a really good balance for a business. So I respect businesses that have made that decision. But just be ready for change and be ready to just sort of move with the times. But for me, the pandemic was absolutely a pivotal moment in my life, and one that I will always be grateful for, because it showed me that my life can be set up in a way that I'm set to thrive in all different areas of life. So I hope I've not went off topic there, but that was honestly my experience through the pandemic. It was wonderful for me to be able to adjust my ways of working and see that we can still run a successful business remotely.
100%. And you're absolutely right, because that year it was all again mapped out, and we knew what we wanted to do. We know where we were going. And we had this very sort of strict ways of working where we had to be in the office at 8:30. Yeah. We'd been very like institutionalized in the recruitment industry to be like, this is when we need to start working. And this, we can only take one break a day. And it's only got to be a quick lunch break at your desk. And it was just unwiring all of those things that we were just doing. And then we sort of looked at each other like, what are we doing? Like, why are we working this way? This is crazy. But yeah, I think like having a plan is really important. And I think that thinking 5 moves ahead is crucial when you're starting a business and thinking about in your career, like what's coming, what's the new technology stack? Okay, AI, Web3, how is that going to disrupt my industry? Because if you're not thinking like that way, trust me, someone else is. How am I different? What's my USP? How can I stand out in a crowded marketplace? These are all the things that I'm constantly thinking about every single day in business. How can we be different? Okay, we've got a podcast, right? Now I see every recruitment company starting a podcast, but actually we've been doing this podcast now for well over a year, and we've had some amazing guests on. But again, that's my way of thinking of, okay, social media, people buy from people, let's build up trust in the marketplace. So that was a way that you and I could express who we are and let people into our lives and behind the scenes of things. So again, thinking 5 moves ahead is absolutely crucial, because otherwise you're going to get left behind and your business is going to be obsolete, or your career is not going to be moving forward the way you want it to. But also be prepared to make a few side moves if needed. Have that resilience, have that adaptability mindset. So when those changes come in and when those, you know, things come up like a pandemic, you're ready. You're not sort of going, oh my God, like, what now? And you just sort of get like stuck and don't know how to move forward. So yeah, I think there's a couple of lessons in that for people, but definitely planning is really important, thinking those 5 moves ahead, but also be prepared to pivot if needed. The second one, and I think, look, this is something that any new business or any business in general, actually, or anyone in their career will be able to relate to, is the whole hiring piece. And look, I think there's a lot that we could say around this, right? But one thing that I've learned is to really, well, a new approach that I have to hiring now is to hire to buy back my time. I think that, we'll sort of go into depth with this, but what I think that we have done wrong in the past is we've just got busy and hired somebody and not really sat down and thought, okay, what kind of person do we want to bring into this business? Who's going to come in and add to our culture? I think we've kind of been too reactive when it comes to hiring in the past, instead of going, okay, let's really take our time and make sure that we get this hiring piece right. And what we don't want to do is hire somebody and create more work for ourselves, which is, I think, what we've done in the past. Because, and again, it's train, don't blame, right? But you and I were, you know, still doing lots of things in the business, lots of business development, lots of account management. And actually, we were still doing those day-to-day tasks. And then on top of that, having to train, and it just took away our focus from what I think you and I do best, which is drive the business forward, account management, client engagement. So yeah, that for me was a really big lesson of like around hiring and the way I think about hiring, being more, less reactive and really thinking about where are the gaps and what's actually needed in the business right now, as opposed to just being like, we're really busy, we need help. and then just expecting that person to come in and just know everything and not giving them enough time to really set them up for success. And I've taken a lot of responsibility for that over the years. And Pam, like, I'll just say this as well, like you have been amazing. You've been more sort of hands-on with the people that we've hired, and I've probably not as been involved in that. And that's probably a little bit of a regret of mine, because I do think that had I had really sat down and thought about the sorts of leader I wanted to be and what I could bring and add to the team, I would have had a different perspective on it. But I was so busy just sort of going off and trying to keep on driving forward and do all the social and do all the sort of the more strategizing stuff that I really enjoy, that I sort of neglected the important part, which is the people.
Yeah.
So that was a big lesson for me.
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, look, hiring people just comes with such a huge level of responsibility, and it's really not something that I take lightly at all. And I think one of the key learnings for me has been knowing what the business needs, but also what I have got the capacity to give. And I think that's where the true disconnect has been for me over the years, in terms of, you know, what our business has needed has maybe been for one particular angle. But we have hired some really smart, intelligent, amazing women in our business. And had we been in an office environment, I feel that I would have had the capacity to give more of myself. But I think a really key learning for me is that we run a remote first business. That is also the type of business that I want to run. I do not want to navigate to being back in an office 4 or 5 days a week. Therefore, who we hire next, I now know I have defined exactly what the business needs, because I want to make sure that we are hiring someone where we are setting them up for success. And where we've potentially went wrong is that we've looked at maybe individuals that are looking to get into the industry and are really interested to get a look and feel for what it's like to operate in a recruitment capacity. We've brought them in, they've been excited, we've been excited. But yeah, you are right. We are still at a stage of the business where we are very much in client relationships, client building, business development, building socials, doing the podcast. There's a lot, it's a huge role that we still have. Therefore, we maybe don't have as much time and energy to offer more junior to mid-level resources as we would actually love to offer. And the reality is, when people are at that stage of their career, they do demand, and rightfully so, they need more of your time, they need more of your nurturing. And I think when I first started my career, when I was 21, left uni, started, I just learned so much about being around people and being surrounded by others. And that's not to say that you cannot hire juniors and mid-level resources being a remote first business. Of course you can. There's so many amazing businesses that do it so well around the world. Like, you know, you're at Atlassian, and I'm sure there's some smaller businesses that do it really well, but it's not quite transpired for us that way. And through reflection, I think that we've really redefined that. In order for it to work for us, we would need to hire mid-level and above, mid-level to senior. So I genuinely think it's like, think about what you need, what's right for right now, but based on that, as a leader, what capacity you have to offer the people that you're bringing into the business. That would honestly be one of the things that I would never want to make a mistake around hiring like that again, because it can be so detrimental to the people that you bring into business. And at the end of the day, when you're hiring, you are dealing with people's lives. It is a very serious thing. This is, you know, it's people's livelihoods that you're talking about. So I think it's a very, very important piece to not take lightly, take very seriously, and sit and really define it and define it well. So I know that's a journey that we've both been on, and it's one of the key learnings that I've had over the past 6 years.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that when we were operating pre-pandemic, when we were both in the office day to day, 5 days a week, we had the time and the capacity, and naturally, again, a lot of things are caught, not taught. So just by being around us, the girls in the office were learning, listening to our calls. But now that we are a remote first business, and we need senior operators, because we just don't have the time or the capacity to be able to really train more junior people. And that is a shame. That is something that I sort of think that is because there's nothing more rewarding than seeing somebody start and then constantly evolve. And I get a lot of fulfillment out of seeing people grow, but it's just not how we're set up now. And I think we clung on to the past and it was like that old model, but in our current reality, it just doesn't simply work.
Again, just back to the earlier point, be prepared to change and pivot. Correct. And just know where your business, what is right for right now,
yeah,
is a very important point to consider.
Yeah. And we definitely didn't adapt quick enough. We held on to those old ways of working, thinking that, oh, we'll just get somebody in, do a quick training session, and they'll be off and running. Yeah. But it actually cost us a lot more time, money, resources. So we've learned a lot. But now I think that we're coming in with more wisdom and maturity, Pam. Like, we didn't have a freaking clue when we first started. Like, we never ran a business before.
No, honestly, we've been learning as we go as well. Yeah. And, you know, there's a lot of bravery and vulnerability that comes with that. And if I can just reflect on one of our more senior hires, I remember at some point I did have a sit down and I asked for some feedback, and she felt as though there wasn't enough transparent communication. Now, this is when we had navigated from working in the office to navigating to working completely remotely. And I honestly, just in the moment, I was listening to that feedback and I'm thinking, I don't know what else there is to say, because I'm working remotely and I was working so hard, so, so hard to navigate through the challenges that the pandemic actually threw us. But I wasn't showing up in a way that I was explaining what it was that my role was on a day-to-day basis and what I was executing on. So I don't think the visibility was there from the other side. And if I reflect on my immaturity as a leader at that time as well, I potentially was not acknowledging some of the challenges that we were experiencing with our clients and the downturn in the market and how we were approaching that. It was just a case of I was pushing on and I knew that I was showing up in a capacity every day that I was really proud of, but that wasn't transpiring through from as easily as it would have if we were in the office and everybody has got the visibility, then they can physically see the work that you're doing. They can physically see how you're showing up. So just like that, that communication style has absolutely got to evolve. So I've really had to focus on that piece of feedback. So there's another thing, like if you feel that you have got what it takes to receive feedback and you can take it in a really open way, there is a time and a place to ask for that communication, because it can actually be so powerful. And although you might not be able to really understand the feedback that you're receiving at the time, sit with it, unravel it. And through that, there's probably two or three key pieces of feedback that I've received over time that I've actually really worked through. And it's made me really uncover a few key attributes about my personality. And in turn, I know that that will make me a better leader as we hire again for CH Solutions into the future. So I do think that asking for that feedback is a really valuable thing to do.
100%. And I think final piece on it is that, you know, I think throughout that period, we were trying to be Mrs. Polly Positive, and actually we weren't being vulnerable with our team and vulnerable even with each other about how we were generally feeling day to day. And what I've come to realize is that vulnerability isn't a weakness, it's a strength. And had we come on to the Zoom calls and been like, look, team, we're having a real tough time. And it's, you know, at the time, you know, you were pregnant. You had a young daughter that you were trying to homeschool as well. And, you know, we couldn't go back and see our family. You know, I didn't know when I was going to see our family in the UK. There was so much that was going on at that time. So much, I guess, stress and uncertainty. And I think we were just trying to be strong for our team. And we were kind of like, morning, how are you? And actually what they probably needed was just a bit more rawness and a bit more vulnerability, and just say, look, oh God, I'm really having a tough day today. I've just spoken to my mum and I don't know when I'm going to see her again. And those moments is what really connects you. So I think that's been a really big lesson for me when it comes to leadership and it comes to hiring and it comes to building out a team, is just being authentic and not being afraid to show people that vulnerable side of you, because that's where the connection comes in. And that's really where I think the culture gets built as well. So that, yeah, some really a lot of lessons in that, but hiring is just something that, God, so many people do get it wrong. But when you get it right, I mean, you really are going to set yourself up for success. And this goes for business, building out a team, whatever you're doing, but your people are they should always be your number one priority. And I don't think, if I'm honest, that they were for me for a period of time. Again, that's just something that I've had to continue to work on. Thank you so much for listening to today's podcast. I wanted to quickly pop in and talk to you about our amazing supporter, CH Talent Solutions. We are an IT and digital recruitment company based in Australia. If you are someone right now looking for a new opportunity or considering a career pivot, please reach out to one of our consultants. Or if you are somebody looking to build your team or build your company or scale, again, please reach out to us if you are looking to find the best tech talent fast. I look forward to connecting with you. Now back to today's episode. Enjoy. So brings me on to point number three, which is don't get caught up in shiny objects. Now, this is probably more me than you. I'm naturally entrepreneurial and quite creative, and I get ideas and I think about things a lot, and I like to sort of go off and explore. And I think that one thing I've realized over the last 6 years is that keep the main thing the main thing. And I can't remember what podcast I heard it on, but it was a guy that was sort of talking about how have your steak, you know, have your sort of main course of the thing that gives you the income, the lifestyle and all of the, you know, everything that you want. And then you can have your side dishes. Then you can go off and experiment. So, you know, if you're in a business, you've got that project that you're working on, and then you might have a couple of other things that are sort of going on in the background as well. But you always do need that main piece, that main thing. And if I'm honest, when things started to go really well for us and we were sort of starting to build, that's when the distractions came in. That's when the thoughts came in. That's when I sort of started looking around and thought, oh, I quite like what she's doing over there. And oh, that's interesting what's going on over there. And I got a bit distracted and it pulled my focus away from CH. And I know that the business definitely suffered because of that. And I have taken full responsibility for that. And look, I think everything happens for a reason. But if I reflect back, I think it was just this shiny object syndrome of like, and I think I was maybe got sort of caught up as well, if I'm honest, like this whole follow your passion, find your purpose. And I remember sitting there a lot going, oh, I don't really feel like recruitment's my purpose. And I was just sort of obsessing about that. Like, oh, I'm not living up to my purpose. What's my purpose? And I got so confused in the process of trying to find my purpose. But actually what I've come to realize is that purpose and passion actually come when you actually get good at something. And I'm good at recruitment. I'm a good consultant. I'm good at building relationships. I'm good with people. I'm good at sales. I'm good at business development. So these are my strengths and also the things that I enjoy. But just this whole obsession that I had with like, this isn't my purpose. Is this what I've been put on the planet to do? Pulled me away. And actually then I went, because my passion is fitness. I really love fitness and health and all of that. But then when I followed that and I went off and did something to do with that, what was really interesting is I wasn't any happier because I felt, well, one, I felt guilt because I was like, I'm now pulling away from CH and Pam's having to deal with a lot more of the workload, which then made me feel guilty. And the second thing was that I didn't feel like I was making enough progress with that particular business and side hustle. So actually it then made me lose the passion for it. So I think what I've come to realize is that when it comes to your career or your business or anything in life, actually follow your passion is the wrong advice. For me, it was. And I think you can become passionate about something if you become good at something. And your work doesn't have to become your everything. And you can have passions outside of work. So now I have more time for my passions, which is cycling and, you know, just being outdoors and hiking and doing all those things, because the business enables me the freedom and the flexibility to pursue that. But then when I was working more in fitness, I didn't have as much time to actually do the thing that I love. So that's been a real journey for me. But I think just having one focus has been really, really crucial. And everyone's journey is different. And you might need to go off and explore and try a few different things to really discover what you want to do. But pick something, because it's easier to navigate a ship on the move than it is to just sort of like wait around to try and find your purpose before you get started. So I think you need to pick something, stick at it for long enough to get good at something before you start asking the question of, is this what I want to do with my life?
That is really, really powerful. And honestly, I think that that is such a great message to put out, because there is so much discussion around people following their passion. And I do agree, there's so much around it that I feel that a lot of it leaves a lot of people feeling a bit confused about what they're doing. But it's really interesting to me. I feel as though there's just so many different personalities out there. And on the flip side, I'm the kind of person that I picked my lane and I stayed in it. And it's not necessarily the advice or, you know, what I would offer for my daughters. I think that your 20s are very much for get out there, explore, try different things, learn that you hate something, try something new, fail, fall down, pick yourself back up again. And then in your 30s, absolutely, pick something you're good at, because you're making such a good point. If you are good at something, you will enjoy it. And that's why I have really enjoyed my career. So that's why I have picked my lane and I've stayed in it. However, what I would say, if you ever are sat beside someone that tells you to stay in your lane, run a million miles. Do not ever let anyone tell you to stay in your lane, ever. Get out and explore different things. But yeah, like, I would honestly agree, don't follow your passion, follow the path that you're good at, and you'll set yourself up for success and happiness and enjoyment. And there's a lot of growth that comes when you're good at something. You can continually strive to grow and learn and develop and overcome obstacles and set new challenges and goals, and you can constantly push out the barriers to achieve greater things. So that is such a powerful point. And I think you've went on a really interesting journey, Georgie. You have tried lots of different things and you have fell down and you've got back up, but all of those tools that you now have at your disposal have happened because of all the growth that you experienced when you tried new things. But be careful about following your passion per se. I would absolutely agree with that. Mm-hmm. And definitely do not let anyone tell you to stay in your lane.
Yeah, 100%. And like I said, like, you know, there was loads of growth that came from that experience, and I'm very, very grateful for that. But yeah, if I reflect back, had I just chosen to stay in just focusing on one thing, be it CH Solutions, we would be probably even in a more a better maybe situation in our business right now. And there's no denying that. But yeah, I think at the end of the day, it's like there was still a lot of growth. There's still a lot of lessons learned. But if I could impart some knowledge and wisdom onto somebody else from my own sort of experiences, then that would be one of them. It's like, don't necessarily just follow your passion and your purpose, or don't go trying to chase it, because it doesn't always lead to what you think it might lead to. So that's definitely been a very key lesson for me. That actually brings me on to beautifully onto point number five. I've got two more points to go here. But never stop growing is one thing that I know both of us are very passionate about. And look, I didn't like school. I think I've spoken about that before, but I've always valued education. I've always valued learning, but it's learning things I'm actually interested in. I, you know, was terrible at maths and didn't want to learn algebra, but you know, there were certain subjects like history really fascinated me, and geography, and even RE, religious education. I was quite interested in other people's beliefs and things. So there's a few subjects in school that I was really interested in, and I excelled in them. And what I've come to realize is that's quite a pattern for me, is that when I'm interested in, I could go as deep, I could lose a day just reading about something or listening to something on a podcast. If I get really fascinated by something, I want to immerse myself in it. So learning and growing, I just think, is just so important when it comes to anything, whether it's business, life, career, just aiming to just be that 1% better every day. And look, I'm not saying you need to sit and study for hours on end, but you could put on a podcast when you're driving to work, or, you know, just listen to something if you're going for a run or in the gym, or like I did this morning, I went on a bike ride and I was listening to a podcast about human psychology, is something I'm interested in. And it just, it makes me just constantly then be able to apply that knowledge and wisdom into the day, bring it into our, you know, into our clients in interactions, bring it into the team, share something I've learned with you. And I think that is, when I reflect, it's from the growth that I've done that has enabled me to continue to evolve, think differently, and keep on innovating and moving forward in the business. So absolutely keep on learning, keep on growing, and never ever think that you know it all. I think because we've been in this job now, this industry for, well, for me, 10 years, 12 years now, actually, for you, 17, it'd be really easy for us to sit back and go, we know it all now, we don't need to worry. But actually, that's when you're doomed. So constantly be thinking, what else is cut, what's coming, what can I learn, how can I stay ahead and make sure that we don't fall behind. So that's been a really, really key lesson for me personally.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think it matters how long that you've, you know, been doing something or operating in a certain capacity. You know, there's always something to learn, and you can always learn from others. And, you know, it wouldn't be the first time that I've, you know, dropped the ball on something that I've been doing for 17 years. Like, mistakes happen, and yeah, you can always learn and grow. And from a more educational lens as well, I think that, you know, as women, we definitely learn in different ways, and we've got the capacity to learn and grow in different ways as well. And for me at the moment, I would probably see I'm at this stage of my life where I'm really time poor, and the one way that I manage to get something in is by honestly putting on my wireless headphones and yeah, just like finding a podcast that I really enjoy listening to. And there's always just some little key takeaways that I can maybe implement into my day-to-day. So it can be something that you maybe even just listen to for fun, but there's something that you take away from it, and you can maybe, you know, take it into your team if you're part of a team, or, you know, impart with your team if you really want to pull them through. And there's just so many ways of implementing learning into your day. Like for me at the moment, if I was to sit down and read a book, I would probably fall asleep. Mm-hmm. You know, if I'm reading a book, it's when I go to my bed, that's when, yeah, I've got the silence to do so. But you can throw on your headphones when you're cooking, yeah, when you're cooking dinner, and just get a little 30 minutes in, or when you go a little walk at lunchtime, put something on, and it can become really part of your day. And that's probably the easiest way for working parents to be able to get some growth into every day. And honestly, I find it so motivational. If this is going to sound absolutely crazy, but if I wake up in the morning and I'm not feeling my usual chirpy self, one of the things that I do is I put on a YouTube short. And I don't know why, but I find the American voice like very inspiring and empowering. And there's a few YouTube shorts that I've got on repeat. And if I'm feeling pretty low on energy and I need pumped up for the day, I put on a 7-minute YouTube short when I'm putting my makeup on in the morning. And then by the time I'm like, I'm ready to go, you know. So it's genuinely just like little things that you can implement into your day that are easy, with ease. You don't have to be sitting down studying, writing essays. You know, that's not what it's about. You know, it's about just learning in ways that you can fit into your day.
100%. And actually what you just said then leads me beautifully onto the next point, which is always choose discipline over motivation. And I think I've relied too heavily in the past on motivation of like waking up every day and getting in the zone and feeling pumped up, right? But the reality is you are not going to feel like that every single day. There are going to be days where you wake up, like you just said then, where you just don't feel on top of your game, we've not had a good night's sleep, where you've just been having one of those weeks where nothing seems to be going your way. And it would be so easy at that point in time just to pull the duvet over your head and go, God, what am I doing with my life? This is so hard. But in those moments,
I was a lot of those moments.
We all have. I know that it's the discipline. It's the, I'm going to still get up despite of how I feel and do what needs to get done today. And that to me is better than waking up every single day and feeling 100% motivated. That's never, ever going to be the case all the time. And that's okay. Because I think as well, like when I was going off and chasing shiny object syndrome, it's because I was lacking that sort of like motivation, right? Because what I've also come to realize as well is that when life gets a bit more comfortable, right, when things, you know, when you're not saving for your first home anymore, or you're not like, I don't know, just you start, life gets a bit more comfortable, things to get a bit more easier, that's when it's actually, that's when motivation wanes. So when I was first starting my recruitment career, you know, I didn't have a penny to my name. You know, I didn't own a home. I didn't have anything nice, but I was like, right, this is my opportunity now to save up a load of money, to get on the property ladder. And I was so driven every single day. I had this huge goal. I was so motivated to get into the office and just get what needed to get done. But what I realized is that as I, you know, became sort of, I guess, more financially stable over the years, the motivation wasn't as there, wasn't there all the time, because I was comfortable. So what I've learned is that it's also, you've got to then find something internally. You've got to connect to a why. You can't just have a goal linked or motivation linked to an external goal, because that is going to, that's not enough to get you going. But sometimes when I'm feeling like that lack of motivation, I would just sort of tap into my why and think, okay, why is this important to me? Why is this goal? Why is going on this journey really important to me? Who do I want to become because of this? And I tap into that, and that gets me up and that gets me going. And then it's the discipline to do the tasks that need to get done every day in order to achieve that. So if you're relying on motivation to do something, to just get you going, to get you up and out, or to start that business, or to get ahead or get promoted or whatever you're working on, you're going to set yourself up to fail because you're not always going to feel motivated. But it's on those days where you need to tap into your why and find the discipline to sit down, do the task regardless of how you feel. And that's something that I pride myself on, because that is something that I'm very passionate about, is discipline is far superior to than motivation, because motivation is not always going to be there. Yeah, so that was just a really, when I was sort of thinking, I was like, yeah, that's an interesting point that I want to make.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I completely agree. It is a really interesting conversation to have around discipline and motivation. And you're so right. If I think back to last year, you know, if in terms of the journey that we went on, obviously, if you don't operate in tech, just to provide some context, like last year, it's a tech recruitment firm that we run, and we, with Sisterhood Club, everything is surrounds women in technology. And there was stats coming out, women were leaving technology jobs in droves. And also there were so many tech layoffs around the globe. We had some core clients that had been our absolute bread and butter and beautifully been so loyal to us over the past 5 years. And slowly but surely, they decided that they were going to stop hiring for the rest of the year. Now, at that point, you know, you're not motivated. Like, you know, things weren't coming through the door. It wasn't exciting. You know, we weren't doing lots of deals. And that's when the buzz comes and you're succeeding, you're moving forward. Your motivation does dwindle. Of course it does. So you're not waking up in the morning and thinking, I cannot wait to get to my desk. That is genuinely when the discipline does kick in. And absolutely, like, just knowing your why, but also really knowing your values and connecting to your values and why you show up in a capacity that you do each and every day. Make sure that you have your why and your core values very much aligned to what keeps you going, because I would agree that discipline and showing up and executing on the days that you do not want to are so much more important than the days when you bounce out of bed and you just cannot wait to get started. So very, very important point. But yeah, look, honestly, last year or the last year and a half is quite possibly, you know, career-wise, have been the most challenging 2 years of my career to date. There's probably been a lot of stress and a lot of worry and, you know, a lot of days that it was a discipline that showed up rather than the motivation. But there's also been a lot of growth that's came through it. And it's just not letting yourself drown. And that always just keep a real sense of, as long as you show up and you have the discipline, everything is going to be okay. You know, nothing is the end of the world. It's all going to work out. But just as long as you are showing up and as long as you continue to execute and do the work, the success will come. But don't drown in it. 100%. Don't drown in your down days.
Yeah. And I think also it's when you're in those days, it's really easy just to focus on all the negatives, all things that aren't going right. And then you start like worrying about the worst case scenario and your thoughts go into a really dark place. So if you do experience that, and I know I have, it's like always pulling yourself back to the present and keeping perspective. I think perspective is so crucial, and that balance between gratitude for where you are and really sort of pulling yourself into the present to be like, in this moment, what can I actually be grateful for? And even if that's, you say, running water, right? That could be, there's a start, right? Because there's people in the world without that. If you're listening to this podcast right now, trust me, you are one of the lucky ones, right? Because it's a lot of people that don't even have access to the internet still. So I think sometimes we need that perspective. And I know it's really easy to say and harder to execute on. But I think if you can pull yourself back into that moment and just sort of look around, because I think sometimes we don't see reality as it is. We see it through the lens that we look through it. And if we're focusing on the wrong things, it can be very, very easy to pull ourselves down and focus on the worst case scenarios. And again, that's where the motivation dwindles, because you've then sort of spiraled into that depressive thought. So pick yourself back up and be your own cheerleader and just keep on every single day focusing on what you can control. gratitude for what you have right now whilst you work for what you want. But it's the absolute discipline that's going to do that, not the motivation. If you're relying on feeling motivated every day, you're setting yourself up to fail.
Can I just actually say one more thing? Because I listened to a YouTube short, one of my faves, and one of the key points that it actually plays on my mind every day, don't let yourself down. Don't disappoint yourself. If you say you're going to do something, do it. And it can be as simple. Honestly, there was one week that I kept saying, I want to get that pantry organized. I really want to get that pantry in order. And every night I was like, I'll do it tomorrow.
Not today.
Not today, Pamela, not today. And it can honestly be as simple as that. Like, have the discipline intrinsically to just not let yourself down. If you say you're going to do something, do it, but do it for you.
Yeah.
Do it for you. And if you keep those promises to yourself, like, your self-belief will, it will thrive. Like, your mind is so powerful. So if you say you're going to execute on something, just make sure that it's smart, make sure mm-hmm. it's achievable and realistic for you, and get it done. And you'll feel so much better about yourself.
1,000,000%. And final point that
we've
got one more. Goodness, and I just realized it's a really nice, easy one, but just enjoy the journey. You know, life, it is going to throw you curveballs. Yeah. It is going to grind you down. You're going to go through struggle, but enjoy it. And remember, when you're in those tough times, it's a chapter. It's not your story. You still get to choose how you show up. You still get to choose what you focus on. And I think for far too long over the years, I've had this focus of, I will celebrate when, I will be happy when this happens, I'll feel successful. And it just ultimately just completely sets you up to fail. And I love it. It's a Tony Robbins quote. I always always remind myself this, is success without fulfillment is the ultimate failure. And I just absolutely love it, because, you know, what's the point of having a successful business or, you know, all the things in life that you want? And how many people do we know that have got everything and they're miserable? It's because they haven't ever let themselves really enjoy the journey, and they've always kept on moving the goalposts further and further and further away. And instead of smelling the roses and celebrating all the small wins and taking the time just to pause and reflect of how far they've come, you know, I think that's where life gets a little bit sad, because you're just constantly working towards things and you never sort of like patting yourself on the back and celebrating. And just, there's always something to celebrate every single day. And I think you and I are now very good at that, but for a long time we probably both weren't. But now we're really big on, well, I know I wake up every single day and think to myself, how can I bring more joy into this day? How can I make this day the best day it can be? And if I catch myself spiraling in the day or focusing too much on something that I can't control, I just pull myself back into the moment and be like, work doesn't have to be so serious. Okay. Like, and I look around and I think, oh, look, how amazing is it that I get to do this every day with my best friend sat beside me? And sometimes that's all I need, just to pull myself back into the moment, to be like, I'm choosing this. I could go and get a job tomorrow and sit on a salary. It's like, anytime I get myself into those states of like, oh God, like, this is tough, this is hard, business is tough, I go, well, hang on a minute. This is still a choice. I'm choosing this path. So it's just reframing things, but having joy and just enjoying the journey for me has been a huge lesson. And I wish when we started the business that I took a few more moments to pause and really appreciate myself and you and what we were doing, but instead I was just like, right, what's next? You know?
Yeah.
It was just never time to pause. No. And I do regret that a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. I forgot how to take deep breaths. I actually forgot how to breathe like a normal human being the first couple of years of our business. But no, it is, it's, you know, life is to be enjoyed. And it can be so easy to just get caught up in the heat of the moment, especially after the couple of years that we've all navigated through. I think everyone was absolutely crawling to Christmas last year. That was just the sentiment that I was getting left, right and centre. And everyone needed to really drop down, rest, recharge and come back re-energized. So take those moments, enjoy the journey, have fun, laugh lots. And yeah, I hope you've enjoyed this podcast today.
Well, I know I have. It's been a bit of a therapy session, actually. So look, please like reach out to Pam and I. We absolutely love, love, love hearing from you. If you enjoyed these episodes as much as we do, let us know. And if you've got something that you'd like us to speak on, something maybe that you're struggling with right now, or something that you would like us to talk to, please reach out. We're really friendly.
And we love hearing, approachable.
We love hearing from you. We hang out most on LinkedIn and Instagram, I guess. So we'll put our links below. But But yeah, please connect with us. And like Pam said, I really hope you've enjoyed this episode as much as we have. And we will speak to you again soon. Have a phenomenal week. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you've got this far, that honestly means the world to me and lets me know that you've got a lot of value from today's episode. So if I could just ask you to do one thing, pull out your phone and please leave a quick review. It honestly would mean the world to me. It will help this podcast grow and get our message out there to more people. So if you could do that for me, that would be amazing. And please reach out and just let me know what you want to hear more about, what you're interested in. It will just also help me make sure that I'm continuing to speak to topics that are relevant and also find guests that are real true experts in what you want to know more about. So have an amazing day. Thank you so much for doing that. And I can't wait to share the next episode with you. Thank you.